Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Yud Zayin, the very last daf of the first parak of Maseches Yevamos. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arm's Wife and Children. We thank him, of course, for the continued sponsorship of the shiurim. We left off on daf Tez Zayin and Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. So the Gemara is going to discuss the status of an Ovid Kochavim who is Mekadesh Shabbas Yisrael. Meaning, what happens to the children when an Ovid Kochavim is Mekadesh Abbas Yisrael? We're going to discuss the possibility, you know, all of the things we've assumed in Judaism our entire lives are sort of up for question in today's daf. Meaning, is it so true that we have matrilineal descent? Maybe if the father is Jewish, that's enough to make the person Jewish. And what creates Mamzerus and what doesn't create Mamzerus? Maybe an intermarriage creates Mamzerus. So we don't paskin that way, but we're going to have all of those discussions. Gemara is going to talk about particular places that have very bad yichus, and that people with bad yichus end up going to those places because they know that nobody's going to look at their yichus because no one's going to care and they're going to marry them anyway. And then the Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak is going to talk about the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. When do we assume that that's considered an erva where it's going to patur the tzaras erva if it's the wife of a brother who you didn't coexist with in the same world, where there is no mitzvah of yibum, you only have the regular isser of the erva of Eishes Achiv? When does that patur etzara, and when does that not patur etzara? On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring what the source is that we only do yibum on Achiv Minaach, on a brother that you shared the same father with. How do I know that it's not on Achiv Minaim? How do I know that it's not only on Achiv from both mother and father, that it's that it even applies to a half brother? And then the last sugi on the daf is going to talk about the strength of zika. Let's say you had a zikas yibum with a woman. To what extent is she considered your wife? To what extent do we, to the gabe what halachos, do we say that the zika itself creates a certain sense of ishus? So that's going to be at the end of the daf. So let's begin again, four lines from the end of the page on daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Dam Ravasi. Ovid Chum Shekidesh Bizman Azeh Choshen LeKiddushin. That if Ovid Chavim is Mekadesh Abbas Yisrael, we're Choshesh for such a Kiddushin that it might be a valid Kiddushin, they might actually be married. Aye, but that's not true. A guy doesn't have any Kiddushin. But Shema Me'aseres HaShvatimu. We always have to be concerned that maybe this Nachri is not really a Nachri. Maybe he comes from one of the 10 lost tribes, and the mother is his mother was a Nachris, and we're assuming that Yisrael Haba'al Nachris, that if you had a Jewish man that was together, that was with a Nachris, the child that's going to be that's going to result from that union is going to be Yisrael Mamzer. So again, this is not how we assume the halacha, but this is working with the assumption. Rashi points out that if a Yisrael is Ba'al Nachris, then the child is going to be Yisrael Mamzer. There were all these Aseres HaShvatim men that were mixed in with these that were lost in these places. They married Nachri women, so all of these children are Mamzerim that are walking around. So if he's a Yisrael Mamzer, then there's going to be a Tfisas Kiddushin Babas Yisrael. We always have to assume that anybody that gets married from there is going to be a Mamzer, and there's going to be a Tfisas Kiddushin with a Bas Yisrael, and you're going to need a get from such a person. So we are Choshish LeKiddushin. The Aruch there raises the obvious question. Says, wait a second, if the real issue is that he's a Suffolk Mamzer, we're sort of burying the lead over here. We're saying, oh, you have to be Choshish LeKiddushin, make sure you get a get. Well, why don't we say you can't be Mekabel Gerim Bizman Hazeh? They might all be mamzerim. If we're choshish that they're all mamzerim, and therefore we're choshish for kedusha that it's going to require a get, they're all love asur love a bakal. They were not makabel gerim mitarmud because of that, this chashash of mamzerus. So the Aruch Lener writes that, that Rashi is going to say later on that only a miut of the nachrim are from the bnei aseres hashvatim, meaning rov of the world is still not Jewish, right? Rov of the world doesn't come from the aseres hashvatim. It's the only reason we are choshish for this is because there's a principle of kol kavua kemechtz al mechtzadami, that since they are kavua b'mekoman, they are located wherever they are, they're stationed in their place, we view it as a 50-50 suffix. The reason we're not mekabel gerim from Tarmud is because of the chashash that if we're mekabel the gerim, they're going to get mixed in with the Bnei Yisrael. So it could be that that's only by Tarmud where the majority are mamzerim, but by other of the chavim where it's only a suffix hashakul, whether they're mamzerim from the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, based on kol kavua, Shavua, we could be matir to be makabel gerim because of a svek sveka. Maybe they're not mamzerim, and even if they are mamzerim, maybe they're not going to get mixed in with the Bnei Yisrael, even if we're megayir them. So it's only the gabi their kiddushim where you only have one suffek. That's where we're choshes that meshami Yisraelim mamzerim him. But as far as being megayir them, that's not a concern. Now Tosos raises the question on the way Rashi understands this line of Gemara. Tosos Dibra Maskel Oved says that you know there are a lot of mishnayos that are mefurush that a vlad is misyache sachar ha'em, meaning that if the mother is a nachris, then we're not at all concerned what the father is. That it doesn't really matter that the father is a Jew. The child is going to be a nachri. That we don't say he's a Yisrael mamzer. Rashi's whole reading of this Gemara assumes that in that first generation where you had the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim marrying Nashim Nachrios, that the children from that were Yisraelim Mamzerim. But there are Kama V'Kama Mishnayos that tell us that if mother is a Nachris, then the child is a Nachri. So Tosa suggests that those Mishnayos hold that that an Akum and Eved HaBal Bas Yisrael have Vlad Kosher, and Hu Adin Yisrael HaBal HaNachris, that the Vlad is going to be Kosher. Ravasi holds like Rabbi Akiva, that in both of those cases have Vlad Mamzer. So it's a Machlokas Tanoim. A number of the Achronim ask from the Mishnah we're going to have later on in Daf Samach Tes. Rabbi Veger points out that it says that even though in Eved HaBal Bas Yisrael HaVlad Yisrael Mamzer, but Yisrael HaBal HaShivcha, the Vlad is going to be an Eved like the Shivcha. So that's a question that all the Achronim deal with. But again, there are so many assumptions over here that we're not used to assuming. Let's read it the way Rashi reads it. So again, you have Novin Chavnas Kiddush Bizman Hazeh. You have to be Choshish for Kiddushin in that you need a get, because you have to be worried that he descends from the Aseres HaShvatim. Descending from the Aseres HaShvatim means that in that first generation it was a man from the Aseres HaShvatim who married a Nachris. He, the child, is therefore Yisrael Mamzer. And now any man that comes and is Mekadesh, a Jewish woman, you have to worry that maybe he's a Yisrael Mamzer. So Frekta Gemara called the Parish Miruba Parish. Most people in the world are non-Jews, so shouldn't we assume that he follows the Rove and that he's not the Yisrael Mamzer, that he's in fact a Nachri? So answers the Gemara, no, Beduchta Tekvi'i. We're talking about a case where they're Kavua B'Mekoman, and the rule is that even though called the Parish Miruba Parish, called Kavua, Kimechzal Mechzadami, anyone that's set, or anything that's set in its location, is considered to be a 50-50 suffix. Tamar Biyabas Gemara proves what's the makom kavua of the Aseres HaShvatim or the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim. Tamar Biyabas Bar Kahana, when it says by the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim in Sefer Melachim Beis, it says Ve'yanchem Bachlach V'chavar Nahar Gozan Vare Madai. So it identifies what are these places. Chalach Zechalzon, that's Chalzon, and I guess they knew where that was. V'chavar Zechadyav, that's Chadyav. Nahar Gozan Zuginzak Vare Madai Zu Chamdan V'chavar Seha. That's Chamdan and its suburbs. The Amrila zo Nihar v'Chavroseha, or it's Nihar in its suburbs. So Chavroseha man, what are the Chavroseha of Nihar? What are the suburbs of Nihar? Some are Shmuel, Krachmushke, Chidki, Vidumkia. So those are the Chavroseha. Those are the neighboring towns or the suburbs of Nihar. Amar v'Yochanan v'Kulan Lifsal, and all of these places, all the people in these places are always under suspicion of being Yisraelim Mamzerim, because the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim got mixed in with them and amongst the Ovdos Chavim, and they married the Ovdos Chavim, so the children that are born from those Nachrios will be Yisraelim are really Yisraelim Ksherim. So this is what Rashi adds a lot to the Gemara. Also says Rami Rabbi Yochanan V'kulan Lifsal. So Rashi says, oh, you know what V'kulan Lifsal means? It sounds like he's really just agreeing with everything we said, that yeah, you have these Bnei Aseres HaShvatim who married Nachrios, the children are going to therefore be Yisraelim Mamzerim, and therefore, it's going to be a big psul if they ever marry a Bas Yisrael. Says Rashi, no, that's not what's happening over here. What we're saying is the children from those Nachrios are going to be Yisraelim Kesherim. Not that Yisrael HaBal HaNachris HaVlad Mamzer. We're assuming that they're going to be Yisraelim Kesherim. The reason that they're Mamzer B'Zman HaZeh is because those offspring of the Aseres HaShvatim weren't careful about all the rules of Arayos. They were marrying their sisters and their mothers, and they weren't careful about all the dinim of Arayos. And that's why the Rov Bnei Amar Mamzerim. Not because of the union of the Jew and non-Jew to begin with, that didn't create the Mamzerus. the Mamzerus was created subsequently, even though these were all Bnei Yisrael, which is also a Chiddush. The assumption is that even though their mothers were not Jewish, that these are all Jewish people, and since they're, because their fathers are Jewish, and since they're Jewish people, and they're going with patrilineal descent, so they're Jewish people. So if they don't observe the Dinim of Arayos, so then they're all going to be Mamzerim. So now we go back to what reviewed the Seren Tazayin and Beis. Once reviewed, that brings the Memor of Rabasi, that over Chavnas Mekadish Rabasi Sol B'Zman Hazeh, that we have to be Choshish the Kiddushin. A non-Jew marries a Jewish woman, we have to be Choshish for the Kiddushin. So Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say, after Ravasi dies, he brought this psak to Shmuel to get a reaction. So Kiamrisa Kameh to Shmuel, when I said what Ravasi had said in front of Shmuel, meaning when I reported to Shmuel that Ravasi said that a non-Jew is Mekadish Shabbas Yisrael B'Zman Hazeh, we have to be Choshish for the Kiddushin, it's going to require a get. So Amar Li, Shmuel said, well, wait a second. Pasuk says, Lo Sitzchatin Bam, Bitcha Lo Sitin Levno, Bitcha Lo Sikach Levnecha, Ki Yaseus Bincha Me'achrayv Avdu Elohim Acherim, that you're not supposed to intermarry because they're going to lead your children to do Avodah Zarah. So Bincha, what does Bincha mean? That refers to your grandson, Habam in Yisraelis, that comes from your Jewish daughter, Karoy Bincha. That's called Bincha, meaning if one has a grandchild from a Jewish daughter, who Rachman al Tzlan married a non-Jewish man, so the child, the grandchild that comes from the Jewish daughter, that's called Bincha. And that's where we're concerned, that his non-Jewish father is going to lead him to observe, to worship Avodah Zarah, to lead him astray. That's what the pasuk is referring to. But Ve'in Bincha Abamin Oved Zchavim Kari Bincha El Binah. But if it worked the other way, you had a Jewish son, and your Jewish son married a non-Jewish woman, so the grandchild that comes from such a union is not Bincha, it's Binah. It follows after matrilineal descent, it goes with his mother, and his mother is a non-Jew, so the child is not a Jew. Meaning, it never said about a Bas HaNachri that marries your Ben, that she's going to, and it's never Shema Tassiris Bincha, that mom is going to lead the child to do Avodah Zarah. That was never the Chashash, because mom is not a Jew anyway. Because even if you're going to have a child from that, and it's going to be, and the mom is going to lead the child away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Bincha is not called Ben Bincha, where the mother is a non-Jew, is not called Bincha. It's Misyachis Achar Imo HaNachris, not after Bincha the Jew. So you see that we always determine, what we see over here is based on the pasuk Shmuel said, is that we always determine Judaism based on the mother and not based on the father. So no reason to be choshesh for kiddushei Ovdei Kochavim b'zman hazeh, because even if this Ovid Kochavim that marries, or that it's Mekadesh the Bas Yisrael, even if his father was from the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, it's irrelevant. Me Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, that's just the fathers. The mothers weren't from Bnei Aseres HaShvatim. They were all non-Jews. So this person is a Nachri. You don't have to be Choshesh for Kiddushin. So the Gemara asks on Shmuel, how could Shmuel not be Choshesh for the Kiddushin? What, were the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim all male? Vayikabanos. What about the women from the Aseres HaShvatim? Didn't they also get mixed in? So if you have the women from the Aseres HaShvatim that were intermarrying, so those children were actually Jewish, and that should be a problem. So then maybe we should be choshish for kiddushin. Vam Ravina, and Ravina learns from the fact that the Torah says, Bitcha lo sitein libno ki yasir is bincha me'acharai, shema mina ben bincha abobin of chamkar bincha, that if your daughter and Nebuch intermarries and they have a child, so that child is going to be bincha. That child is in fact going to be Jewish. So why don't we have that same chashash that when a random non-Jew comes and is Mekadesh Shabbas Yisrael, maybe he descends from the daughters of the Aseres HaShvatim and he's really Jewish. Says Gemara, Gemiri debin sadu dara, itzaru yitzru. We have a Kabbalah that all of the women of that generation from the Aseres HaShvatim, they were all barren. None of them were able to have children. And therefore, we know that it was the end of the line as far as the Judaism was concerned. So you don't have to be worried that the children of such places were the offspring of these women. Wow, that's quite a statement. First of all, why would that be so? That they all became, it's a remarkable coincidence. So the Meiri says three possibilities. One, he says, just the Tareach HaDerech naturally caused that their bodies stopped functioning normally. Or he says that they were noeg nivel on themselves. They got themselves sick to the point that their bodies stopped functioning in order that no one would be interested in them, that they wouldn't, nachrim, wouldn't take advantage of them. or they drank a kos shel ikrin in order that they shouldn't become pregnant from the avdei chavim. They knew that Nachrim would take advantage of them, and their worst fear was that they would become pregnant from the avdei chavim, so they drank something that turned them barren, that made them unable to have children. So whether that's a halachically accurate assessment of what to do to make yourself an akara, right, or not, but that's what Miri says, that's what they did. So the repercussions of that are unbelievable, right? That if all of the first generation, Binosa, Saras, Hashvatim, didn't have children, that means that there aren't really 10 lost tribes, right? Meaning the 10 lost tribes are all gone already because they were never able to, and we assume matrilineal descent, so then they were never able to reproduce Jews. So that's what it seems to be saying. Igada Amri, others say that, meaning those 10 lost tribes are lost forever. Not, so Igada Amri, some say that a different lashon. So Kiamrisa, when they told when Rav Yehuda reported what Rav Asi had said, that were choshish for kiddushi of the chavim bizman hazeh, Kiamrisa kamei de Shmuel, that when he reported that to Shmuel, Amr Li, lo zazu misham at sha'asam of the chavim gemurim, that the Beis Din of that generation made a psak that the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim are always considered to be of the chavim gemurim, and they don't have their mafkia any kiddushin that they do. Shnemar ba'ashem bagadu ki banim zarim yaladu. So therefore, even if they are from the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, their kiddushin is like a kiddushin of the chavim. We don't have to be choshish for the kiddushin at all. Meaning, what Shmuel's response was, Eina chinami, technically speaking, maybe they should have the halachic status of a Jew, but they made the takana that they do not. They made a takana that they don't have any status of a Jew. And that's dafka by the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim, the Ritva points out, where they completely, completely assimilated Beino of the Chavim. But a Yisrael Meshumad is Dino Ki Yisrael and Kiddush of Kiddushin. Meaning this was not just a edict that they made, that whenever you have a Meshumad, that his Kiddushin is going to be worthless and that there's never going to be, we don't have to be Choshish for Kiddushin. So even a Gerish, a Chazr, the Suro, the Ritva points out, is Dino Ki Yisrael. If we gire somebody, and unfortunately we don't have 100% retention rate, sometimes the ger is Chazal the Suro. He goes back to his old religion and his old family. So if you have such a case of a ger, a Chazal the Suro, also we're still Choshish for Kiddushin, the Ritva writes. Meiri is not so sure about that, but that's what we assume. So now, Yosef, Rav Yosef, Achori, Rav Kana, Yosef, Rav Kana, Kamei, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef was sitting by Rav Kana, and Rav Kana was in front of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Kamei, and Rav Yehuda was saying, Asid Yisrael Davdi Yom Tova Kichar V'Tarmod, that the Jewish people will one day make a great celebration when Tarmod is destroyed, because all the people in Tarmod are Mamzerim, and they're getting mixed in with the Kahal of the Jewish people, so they're causing to be Marbe Psulim Be Yisrael. So Frek the Gemara V'Chariv, but it's already destroyed. What do you mean? Say, He Tamod Havai. No, Tarmod is destroyed. Tarmod was never destroyed. So Tarmod is the place that has this very terrible yichus. That's the place where we're going to celebrate when it's destroyed. You have to say that the reason that there's so many mamzerim is because they weren't careful about our rayos. That's how Rashi explains Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. But not because they were born from Akum HaBaal Bas Yisrael, because Rabbi Yehuda is the Baal HaShmua over here. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Akum HaBaal Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is going to be kosher. When we said the Vlad is Mamzer, that's only what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Asi. Rav Yehuda himself disagrees. So when he says that all the people in this place are Mamzerim, it's not because of that original union of the Chavim HaBaal Bas Yisrael. No, it's because of lack of concern for Arayos in general. Rav Ashi Amar, Hainu Tarmod, Hainu Tamod. Rav Ashi says, no, there are no two places, Tarmod and Tamod. They're the same place. It's just that, what do we do with the Stira, that we're on the one hand, we're saying that when it's finally destroyed, we're going to celebrate, and on the other hand, we say it's already been destroyed. So Achpule hu de mechapel. It's like a double-sided city. Charev mehaygisa os mehaygisa. It always managed to find a way out. Whenever one side of the city was destroyed, the other side would be saved. And the charev mehaygisa os mehaygisa. And when the other side was destroyed, then the first side would be saved. So it was never fully destroyed. There were parts of it that were destroyed, but it was never fully destroyed. So that's why Rav Yehuda is saying that one day we'll make a Yom Tov, we'll make a big celebration when it's finally fully destroyed. He was asking questions on his learning. So Amar, so Ula said about Rav Amnuna, Magavra Umagavra, what is the strength of this person? He loved Arpanya Masa, if not for the fact that he lives in Arpanya, where the people are not miyuchasim, meaning he's saying that this person doesn't have any yichus because he comes from Arpanya. So Ichsiv, so Rav Amnuna was embarrassed from what Ula said, because Rav Amnuna himself comes from Arpanya. So Amalei, so Ula said, Kesef kugalta lehechiyavta, which city do you pay your taxes to? So Amalei, Rav Amnuna said, Lupum Nahara, I pay my taxes in Pum Nahara. So Amalei, Imkein, Mipum Nahara. So you're not from Arpanya, you have nothing to be embarrassed about, you're from Pum Nahara. You are based on where you file your tax return. So you don't have to worry that I'm bad-mouthing the place that you come from. And it sounds like he was not insulted because he thought he was questioning his yichus. He was just insulted as, pride of where he comes from. So he says, no, that's not where you come from. You come from wherever it is that you file your tax return. I'm not sure what the message of that is. My Harpanya, why is the place called Harpanya? So I'm Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Harpanya is in a trikun. Har shakol ponenbo. It's the mountain that everyone turns to. Meaning, anyone who's puzzled, who can't find a shidduch because he has a psul in his yichus, would always go there, because no one there cares about yichus. But masni satana kol shein makir mishpachto v'shifto nifna l'sham. Anyone who doesn't know his yichus of his mishpacha and what shevet he comes from, and therefore no woman wants to marry him, he can go there, and then anyone will marry him there. Amarava v'hi amuka mishaol. Harpanya is deeper and more evil than Gehenim. Sha'nemar miyad sha'ol efdeim, because the pasuk in Hosea says that they will be redeemed from Sha'ol, Mimavas Egalem, and from death. So you see that Yoshvei Sha'ol, those who live in Gehenim, will have a takana eventually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be poda them from there. Vilu psul did who? But the psul of the Bnei Harpanya, leslu takanta. That there's not going to be any takana for. They're always going to remain in their status of psul. Psuli d'Harpanya, Mishum Psuli de Mishon. The reason there are so many Psulim ended up in Arpanya is because it got mixed in with the Psulim from Mishon. Upsuli de Mishon, Mishum Psuli de Tarmud. And the Psuli de Mishon got so messed up because there's of their proximity to Tarmud. And Psuli de Tarmud, Mishum Avdei Shlomo. And the Psul of Tarmud, the Psulim of Tarmud, started out because of the Avdei Shlomo, who were Ashirim, and they married Nashim Ibnos Yisrael, and they settled there, so their children became Mamzerim. Vahainu Damri Inshi. And that's what the people always say, Kaba Rabba v'Kaba Zuta, that a large measure and a small measure, all the psulim, whether they're small or large, Migander v'Azil, are l'Sha'ol. They all end up in Sha'ol, u'mi-Sha'ol l'Tarmud, and from Sha'ol they end up in Tarmud, u'mi-Tarmud l'Mishan, u'mi-Mishan l'Arpanya. So Arpanya is the final stop for all of these psulim. So Hajin Lach Chamesh Esrei Nashim, that is the end of the first parak of Meseches Yevamos. So now we move on to the second parak. And the second parak is going to start with the Mishnah that focuses on Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. We learned already in the first Mishnah that an Eishes Mace, an Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama, is not Nofel Yibum. So if you have Reuven is married to a woman, and Reuven dies without any children, and after Reuven dies without any children, his mom has another baby. So Reuven has a new brother that's born after he dies. So Reuven's wife doesn't have to face Yibum. That is Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. Not only not face Yibum, but obviously it's going to be Arayos. Reuven's new brother is not going to be allowed to marry Reuven's wife because it's Eishes Achiv. And Eishes Achiv without a heter of Yibum is a big problem. What about the tsaros of Eishes Achiv? So the Mishnah elaborates how that works. Ketzad Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. How do you have a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama pater her tsaros from Yibum as well? So Shnei Achim, imagine you have two brothers, you have Reuven and Shimon, who do live in the same world at the same time. And Reuven marries Sarah, and Shimon marries Rivka. And then Reuven dies without any children. So now, typical case of Yibum, Shimon is supposed to do Yibum on Sarah. V'nola then Ach. But before Shimon does Yibum on Sarah, Levi is born. So now Sarah, Reuven's wife, is usher to Levi, because she's Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. But there's still a Zikas Yibum to Shimon. Now Shimon goes and he's Miyabim Sarah. So now Shimon is married to both Sarah and to Rivka, but as far as Levi's concerned, Sarah's Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama, and Rivka is not. Rivka is just his brother's wife. and then Umeis, and then Shimon dies without any children. So now Levi faces a Yibum situation with both Sarah and Rivka. So Rishona Yotza Mishmeis Shachshoy Ba'olamo. Sarah is not an issue because she's Eish Shachshoy Ba'olamo, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum. She's Aser because she was married to Reuven, so she's Eish Shachiv, and Reuven and Levi didn't coexist at the same time. Vashnia and Rivka, who is Shimon's original wife, Mishum Tsarasa, is the Tsaras Eish Shachiv Shloim Ba'olamo, because she and Sarah were married to Shimon at the same time, and therefore she's going to be put from Yibum as well. So that's only when Shimon marries Sarah before before he dies, he married Eishes Reuven with a Yibum Gamor Min HaTorah, meaning that's only if Shimon actually did real Yibum on Sarah before dying. But Asa B'Maimer, what if Shimon didn't do real Yibum on Sarah before he died? He just did Maimer. He did a Kiddushe Kesef Midrabanan on Sarah. So he gave some sort of acknowledgement that he's interested, but he didn't do real Yibum. So then, Shnei Chalatz Eslam Sevyam, and then Umeis, and then Shimon dies, Shnei Chalatz Eslam Sevyam. Then Rivka is only going to do Chalitza and not Yibum with Levi, because she's not really an Eishas, Eishas Achashalei Ba'olamo, because Sarah was never really married to Shimon. But Sarah was close enough to being married to Shimon that Rivka is not going to be able to do Yibum with Levi. So she's not Pater B'Vlo Klum, because Shimon never did Yibum on Sarah, but she's also not going to be allowed to do Yibum, because there was some connection between Shimon and Sarah, since Shimon did Ma'aymer on Sarah. Good, that is Eishes Achav Shloim Ba'olamo. So Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, you know, the girsa in our Mishnah is that we said, as far as Shimon's two wives, he's married to Sarah now, who was originally Reuven's wife, and he's married to Rivka, who was originally his wife. And then Shimon dies. So we described Harishona, the first one, is Eishes Achav Shloim Ba'olamo, and the second one is Sarah. Who's the first one? Who's the second one? So there's another girsa that says the opposite, that Hashniya Yotza Mishum Eishes Achav Shloim Ba'olamo, and Rishona is Mishum Tsarasa. So Mandatani Rishona Lamishtabish, Mandatani Shnia Lamishtabish. Meaning it's saying the same thing. Whichever girsa you have, it's just a question of which one we're referring to as number one and which one we're referring to as number two. Very clearly, in however you cut it, Sarah is Eishes Achav Shloim Ba'olamo, and Rivka is the Tsara of Eishes Achav Shloim Ba'olamo. It's just a question of who do you refer to as number one, who do you refer to as number two, and both of those are reasonable things to do. Mandatani Rishona, the one who calls Sarah the Rishona, Lomishtabish, is not mistaken. My Rishona, because what does Rishona mean? Rishona Linafila. She was the first woman that faced the Yibam situation in this whole picture, because she was married to Reuven. Reuven died first, so she was the first one that had a Yibam situation in the picture. That's why she's called the Rishona, and that's our Girsa. Umandatani Shnia, the one who refers to Sarah as the Shnia, is also Lomishtabish. That's not an error. My Shnia, Shnia Linisuin, because she was the second one to marry Shimon. Shimon was first married to Rivka, and then Shimon did Yibum on Sarah as well. So says Mar, is that necessarily true? Would the halacha be any different if Shimon had not married Rivka until after he had done the Yibum on Sarah? So Milo Askinan, the Yibem V'acharkach Kanas, couldn't it be a case where he did the Yibum on Sarah and then he married Rivka and then he dropped dead? And wouldn't the halacha be exactly the same? So says Mar, Elamai Shnia, Shnia Binisu. Now, you're right. The reason we call Sarah a Shnia was because she's the one that got married twice. Not that she was the second one, but she's like the bas beis. She's the one who had two marriages. Whereas Rivka only got married once. Rivka only married Shimon once, and then before Shimon dropped dead. So that's why she's called the Shnia. Okay, so that's just a technicality. That whatever girsa you have in our Mishnah, whether you're referred to Sarah as the Rishona or as the Shnia, each girsa makes perfect sense. So now the Gemara says, okay, but what about the halacha? Forget about the technicality. What about what it actually says in the Mishnah? Where do we have such a thing in the Torah that you're not allowed to do Yibum on the wife of your brother that you didn't coexist with? Some Rabbi Dom Rav says, we learn it from a pasuk, Amar Kra Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov. From the word Yachtov, we darshan Shoyselam Yeshiva Achas Biolam. That when do we have Yibum? Only when the two brothers coexisted. Prat Leish Zach Shloim Ba'olamo, as opposed to a brother who died before the next brother was born. So, and in addition to that, we darshan Yachtov Miyuchadim Benachla Prat Lachim Bina'im. Another halacha that we darshan from Yachtov is that Yibum only applies to brothers who share the same father, that they're Miyuchad Menachla, that they can Yarshin each other. Yerusha always works through relationships through the father. As opposed to brothers who share the same mother, they where you wouldn't do Yibum, just like you wouldn't have a din of Yerusha. No din of Yerusha and no din of Yibum if half brothers share the same mother, only if they share the same father. That's also what we learn from Yachtov. So the Gemara brings another makor for the idea that Yibum only works. So we're now revering a little bit. We're moving away from Eshtach Shloya Ba'olamo and instead just talking about the idea that Yibum only happens with your brothers that you share the same father with and not with brothers that you share the same mother with. So Rabba Amar, another source for that is Achin Min Ha'av Yalif Achva Achva Mi B'nei Yaakov. Because where else do we refer to brotherhood? Where else do we refer to brothers? So that's by the B'nei Yaakov we refer to brothers, because the Pasuk says Ki Yeshu Achim when it comes to Yibum, and the Pasuk in Bereishis Perek Mem Beis Shnei Masar Anachnu Achim b'nei Avinu, that they refer to themselves as Achim b'nei Avinu. It's not mistaver to be mimait with this gezer shava eshes achshalay ba'olamo, because they're not called Achim unless they're Tosus points out, why not say once you have this Ach v'Achim b'nei Yaakov, that should also teach us the other halach of eshes achshalay ba'olamo, because you know what else the brothers what we're saying is look at the shvatim, they all shared the same father, they didn't all share the same mother, and therefore you see, that's the definition of Achim. Yeah, look at the Shvatim. They were all alive at the same time. Binyamin wasn't born after Reuven died. They were all alive at the same time. And maybe that's the definition of Achim. So maybe this limud should teach us Eishazach Shleib Olamo as well. The Gemara never suggests that. So Tos says, no, that wouldn't be a good suggestion, because it's Pasha that even someone who's not Olamo is called Achiv. Meaning you can't say that he's not called a brother just because he didn't coexist in the world at the same time. It's a Dover Pasha that brothers are brothers. That's just describing a familial relationship. The question over here is as far as halachos are concerned, as far as Yibum is concerned. So I need a miut to say yachtov, that no, even though they're brothers, if they're not yachtov, then there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. But there's no way you could say that they're not brothers. Of course they're brothers. So anyway, mala alan min ha'av lo min ha'eim, afkan min ha'av lo min ha'eim. Just like by the B'nai Yaakov, they all shared the same father and did not share the same mother. So too, when it comes to Yibum, when it comes to the halach of Yibum, only if they all share the same father and they don't share the same mother are they considered brothers as far as Yibum is concerned. V'leilif achva achva me'arayos. Why don't we learn instead the definition of brotherhood not from the Bnei Yaakov? Why don't we learn it from the dinim of arayos? Pasuk says ervas eshes achicha lo segale, that you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. Now what is a brother? That includes whether it's the wife of your brother that you share the same father with, or whether it's the wife of your brother that you share the same mother with. They're both included in the Yisra of Arayos, so why don't I say that if they're both included in the Yisra of Arayos, they should also both be included in the mitzvah of Yibum? So maybe even a brother you share the same mother with, you should do Yibum with. So done in Achim Me Achim. When we're learning the mitzvah of Yibum, Pasuk Bayim says Achim. So we're learning the word Achim from where else the word Achim appears. But Ve'ein Danin Achim Me Achicha. It's true that by Arayos it says something about Achva, it says something about brotherhood, but it doesn't say Achim, it says Achicha. So of the two places to compare it to, I'd rather compare Yibum to the Bnei Yaakov than to compare Yibum to the Arayos, because by the Arayos it's not a perfect match. It says Mar, not a perfect match. Since when do you need a perfect match of words in order to make a Gzer Shava? My Nafkamina, Vatana Debe Rabbi Shema. Well, didn't the Talmud Beit Rabbi Shmuel tell us when it comes to tzara'as of houses that after the first week of Hezker, where they close off the house, where they quarantine the house, it says v'shav ha-kohen, that the kohen returns and he sees that the nega has not expanded over that first week, so he then sends out, he then closes off the house again for another week, uva ha-kohen. So we darshan gzera shava v'shav uva, that they have the same dinim, that zui shiva, zui bia, shav and ba are really the same thing. They're referring to the same thing. So they mean the same thing, that you would teach them the same way. So it would turn out that you can learn a Gzeira Shava even if the words aren't at all the same. So of course Achim and Achicha should be close enough to be able to learn a Gzeira Shava. So we're back to our question. How do I know you only do Yibum on brothers that you share the same father with? Maybe I should learn from Achim, the Achim by Yibum, from the Achicha by Arayos, that Yibum applies even when you share the same mother. Says Mara, Hani Mili Echad Dlaka Midi Dami Lei. midzamile alfina. Now, the way the Midrash HaTorah Judgment works is that you can learn a Gezeira Shava from two words that are not the same as each other, but that's only if that's the best option. But if there's a Gezeira Shava to be learned from two words that are exactly identical, then we would not apply the Gezeira Shava to words that are not exactly identical. So we always go with that which is the best fit for the Gezeira Shava. The impression that you get is that that's because meaning I would have thought that if the words aren't identical, so you just don't have a Gezeirah Shavah. No, the impression you get is that they had a tradition that there's a Gezeirah Shavah to be had over here. They didn't have an exact tradition where the Gezeirah Shavah is, which words the Gezeirah Shavah were on, so that's what they had to fit into the tradition that there was a Gezeirah Shavah. So you go with the best fit. Why don't we learn Achim from Lot? Because the Pasuk says Avram Avinu says to Lot, Ki Anoshim Achim Anachnu. Wow, that would be a great chiddush. That would mean that you do Yibam on your uncle's wife also, because Lot was Avram's nephew, so you should do Yibam on your uncle's wife as well. That's how Rashi reads it. Tosas Maseches Yuma and the Ramban read it, that the Havam means that you should do Yibam on your nephew's wife, not on your uncle's wife. L'chor, it should go in both directions. But there are kashas on the nephew's wife one we're not going to have time to get into right now. But so why don't we learn an Achva from Lot? So Mistavr b'nei Yaakov havlel me'il, if it makes more sense to learn from the b'nei Yaakov, Mishum d'mafni, because the word Achim by b'nei Yaakov is extra. It doesn't need to say that word over there, and therefore it's mufna for Gzeirah Shavah. It's open to darshan Gzeirah Shavah. M'dahavle, and look, v'shnei masra v'dechom b'nei Yovinu, uksiv Achim, shema mina lefni. They could have just said, we're all sons of the same father, but they said Achim, so it must be that that's an extra word to learn Gzeirah Shavah. V'isuk l'mikhtav achtav, v'mikhtav yachtav. Now, once I could have learned both of the halachas from Yachtav, why does it have to say Achim? Meaning we already said from Yachtav alone I could learn Eishes Achim Shalei Balamo, and I could learn that you only do Yibam on your brother's wife, on your brother from your father's wife. Dikos Rachmana Achim, had it only said Achim, I would not have known Hava Mina Leilif Achva Achva Melot. I would think to learn Achva Achva from Lot. V'chitem lo mafni. And if you would have said, well, by the Achim that it says over there is not extra for a drasha, li'i afnu yamafni, it absolutely is extra. Because Avram Avinu could have just as easily said to Lot, Reim, why does he have to, he could have said we're friends, why does he have to say that we're Achim, Uksiv Achim, but instead it says Achim, Shema Mina Lafnuye. So it sounds like it's opening it up for Gzeirah Shavah. That's why, Kos Rachmani Yachtav, Amyuchad Menachla. That's why I need Yachtav to tell me that you don't do Yibum on anyone who's not Achiv Min Ha'av, that it's Miyuchad Menachla, it's only those brothers that would work through the Yerusha, as opposed to your nephew, where he doesn't divide the same Yerusha with you. Ikos Brahmani Yachtov, and if it would have said Yachtov, Hava Amina, I would have said to me Yachti Ba'aba Ubi'ima, that you know when you do Yibum, if the you share a brother, that if your brother is your brother who you share both a mother and a father with. So Tzrich, that's why I need Achim to tell me, no, look at the Bnei Yaakov, that the Bnei Yaakov don't share the same mother, but they do share the same father, and that's good enough. Vahamehechatesi, how would I think, why would I think that you need both the same mother and the father? Yibum Benachla, meaning what's the Avamina? Yibum is a function of Nachla. Nachla works through the father, it doesn't work through the mother. Why would I think it has to be a whole brother? So Isrich, Salka Taitchamina, Hoel, Vichidishu. I might have thought that since the whole din of Yibum is a Chidish, why is it a Chidish? To Kamishtari Erva Legabe. We're allowing an Erva. We're allowing you to marry someone who's Eishes Achiv, which is normally an Erva. So Ema Adam Yachte Ba'aba Ubi Ima. I might think that we're only going to be very narrow in where we're going to apply this chiddush. Ein lechabal el chiddusha means when something is a davar asosar saklal, when something goes against all the normal rules, so we limit it as much as we can. So I might have thought that we're saying this great chiddush. Chiddush, as we've pointed out many times, Rav Shechter points out, chiddush doesn't mean something that I would not have known had the Torah not said it. I wouldn't have known anything. I probably would have figured out not to murder and not to steal, but the most of the dinim of the Torah I wouldn't have known had the Torah not said it. I wouldn't have known to pick up a citron and a palm branch, those aren't called chidushim. Chidush is that within the klalim that the Torah provides, there are things that are so serious a klal. There are things that go against the klalim. So there's a klal of arayos, and here we have a davar so serious a klal. So the whole din of yibum is a chidush. So I would think to limit the chidush as much as possible. Adam yachti ba'abu ubi ima. So tzricha, that's why he needs to tell me that it's only, even if it's just you share the same father. Some Rav Yom Rav. Now, less so you have the daf will at least get started on. Shomeres Yavim Shemesa Mutter Bi'ima. If a Shomeres Yavim dies before you actually do Yibum, the Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven's married to a woman. Reuven dies without any children. Before Shimon does Yibum, the Reuven's wife died. Mrs. Reuven passes away. So now Shimon is allowed to marry Mrs. Reuven's relatives. Shimon was never married to Mrs. Reuven. He never did Yibum. All he had was Zika. And Zika is not Ishus. He had this requirement to be connected with her, but he never actually connected. So Alma Kasavar Ein Zika. It seems like we're assuming like the Shita that says Ein Zika, that Zika is not marriage. V'leim alach divrei Amar Ein Zika. So there's a better way to say that. Just say Ein Zika. Yava Amar Hach, Yava Amina Hani Mili Betray, Ava B'chad Yesh Zika. Had it only said Ein Zika, I would have thought that Ein Zika, if let's say there are two brothers, and they both had, you know, and only one of them was destined to marry the deceased brother's wife. So then, okay, Ein Zika. You can't tell Shimon that he's more related to Reuven's wife, because who knows, maybe Levi was the one that was destined to do Yibum with her. But maybe when there's only one brother, he's the only one that there is a Zika, maybe in such a case, Yesh Zika. So why don't you just say it that way? Say, I would have thought that even while the Yavam is still alive, you're allowed to marry her mother. So but Mechayim lo, that you're only allowed to marry your mother after Misa, but not Mechayim, Mishum Da'asa Levatel Mitzvah Yivamin, because by marrying her mother, you're making it impossible for you to do Yibam on that woman, and now let me Mevatel the Mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Good day. Yeah. You too. Have a good day. Welcome back.
Thank you.